37. Bob, August 2165, Delta Eridani. It had been a few weeks since the last guerrilloid attack, and both the Deltans and I had relaxed. I had some hope that the beating the Deltans had handed out might have sent a clear enough message. I imagine the Deltans felt the same. No such luck. I didn't know if the guerrilloids had enough smarts to formulate a plan or if it was just coincidence, but on this particular day, the guerrilloids launched the largest offensive I'd ever seen. Or maybe it was just the smell of all that meat being cooked. The spears had made the Deltans even more successful at hunting, and I was beginning to wonder if they had enough sense not to depopulate their hunting area. If they were outcompeting the guerrilloids for food, then maybe the guerrilloids were feeling the pinch. In any case, I looked on in dismay as 31 guerrilloids descended on the encampment. I called the others immediately. Luke was on a shakedown cruise, and lightspeed lag would make him ineffective for assistance, but Marvin and Bender showed up immediately. We cranked our frame rates up to maximum to have time to discuss the situation. The VR faded out as the core adjusted to the increased demand. "What the hell? How did this happen?" Marvin asked. I shrugged. "I think the guerrilloids are hungry and a little desperate. I don't think we have to read anything more than that into it." Bender jumped in. "Have you guys deployed the Buster drones yet?"
"Geez, no,"
I scowled, a feeling of self-loathing washing over me. "Things have been going well, and I just figured we had all the time in the world. Guppy, how long to get them there?"
10 minutes, plus or minus two. Atmospheric entry is the limiting factor and a source of largest uncertainty."
"Launch them, now."
"Done."
It would only take a few minutes for the drones to get from our position in orbit to the upper atmosphere, but if I didn't want them to burn up, they'd have to take a more sedate pace to descend to the colony. Marvin interrupted my introspection. "We can't sacrifice our observation drones without a good reason, especially since they don't have the legs to get up a real head of steam."
"True," I replied. "Let's set them near Archimedes. I think we have to be most concerned about protecting him."
We discussed the situation for a few more milliseconds, but there were really not a lot of options open. With a sigh, I adjusted my frame rate back to real time. The VR faded in, but I didn't care. The Deltans outnumbered the guerrilloids by a significant margin, but the guerrilloids were the stereotypical 800-pound gorillas. They went where they wanted and did what they wanted. It took a half dozen Deltans with spears to hold one off. The Deltans were giving a good account of themselves, but the guerrilloids just kept coming. Not only that, but they didn't seem to be happy with one Deltan for a half dozen guerrilloids. Either they were really starving, or there was some aspect of vengeance involved. A group of guerrilloids had attacked Group C and were beating their way through the defenders toward the women and children. Several of them started to break through the defensive line. The women and children tried to back away from the guerrilloids, but they had nowhere to go. Archimedes was in the middle of the pack trying to hide behind his mother. I could see him shaking in fear, and I felt myself curling and uncurling my fists. As one of the guerrilloids made a break for the group, Arnold came out of nowhere and stuck a spear right through his back. And that right there is what spear points are good for. I let out a breath and relaxed. Too soon. Arnold tried to retrieve his spear, but dislodging it would take more time than he had available. With a roar, another gorilloid charged him. Arnold managed to throw himself at the gorilloid's legs, which tripped up the animal and allowed Arnold to roll away, but the gorilloid was unharmed and already getting up. Arnold looked around, but there was nothing usable as a weapon within reach. As the gorilloid snarled and locked its gaze on Arnold, Archimedes yelled and tossed him the axe. Arnold caught it and swung it down onto the middle of the gorilloid's head just as it came into range. There was a loud crack, and the gorilloid dropped like a marionette whose strings had been cut. Arnold looked at the axe in his hand for a few moments. Slack-jawed amazement. Yep. Then with a roar, he began to lay into gorilloids. Conan the Barbarian would have been proud. Arnold was an impressive specimen of Deltan, almost big enough to pass as a juvenile gorilloid, and the hand axe was about equivalent to a felling axe. Archimedes had been trying for the biggest he could make, and he'd been very successful. Within moments, Arnold had split several more gorilloid skulls. This was a new battle tactic with no real natural equivalent, so the gorilloids simply had no defense for it.
The other Delta males rallied, and in a few more seconds Group C was cleared of attackers. Arnold and the surviving males headed off to the groups on either side to reinforce the defenders. Then, disaster. One of the gorilloids executed a successful feint and found itself inside the line of defenders with nothing between itself and the women and children, and Archimedes stood right there, unarmed, frozen in place. His mother was screaming. I could see Arnold turning, seemingly in slow motion. For a moment, I thought I might be in frame jack, but no, I was simply in shock. Guppy, Buster's status now.
Coming up, handing over lead unit. Now.
Abandoning any shred of VR simulation, I jacked up my frame rate and slipped into the Buster. I could see the battle coming up through my forward camera, and I picked out the gorilloid. Archimedes was just starting to back away, and his mother was running to him. Arnold was pushing himself toward the attacker. I got there first. 40 pounds of high-tensile steel intersected the gorilloid at twice the speed of a bullet from a high-powered rifle. The impact was not merely fatal. Hydrostatic shock tore the gorilloid apart, almost cell by cell, and spread it evenly over the surrounding ground. Deltons, trees, gorilloids, and anything else in range. The sonic boom reverberated like thunder from a lightning bolt directly overhead. Every living thing in the area froze and crouched in fear. The Deltons recovered first. Unknown noise or not, they had loved ones to protect. Several gorilloids went down before they could recover their senses. The quick deaths turned the tide, and the gorilloids turned tail and fled. A couple of dozen thrown spears followed them, and 8 more gorilloids went down before they could reach the trees. It was over. The carnage was unbelievable. The gorilloids had been as much on a mission of destruction as they were on a hunt. Perhaps they'd been killing Deltons with the intent of collecting the bodies afterward. Perhaps they were just in some kind of feeding frenzy brought on by hunger. I realized how little I knew about the biology on this planet. I wasn't a professional biologist. I was a dilettante playing at biologist. A fake one at that. And I might have caused a situation that made things worse. The Delton toll was 30 dead with another 15 or so injured, some severely enough that they probably wouldn't survive. I gritted my teeth. Prime directive, my ass. I'm going on a gorilloid hunt. I directed the observation drone to a different location, closer to Archimedes. He was examining the area where the gorilloid had been. There were a few pieces of gorilloid still there, but a lot of the momentum of the Buster had transferred to the animal and most of the detritus was down track. It took him only moments to notice that, and he started following the trail. Hey, Guppy? Anything left of the Buster?
No information available. No telemetry.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Marvin tapped the video image with a finger. The kid is going to find wreckage if there's anything left. Question is, should we be worried? Fair enough. They don't have any metallurgy at all, and our stuff is all going to have a very high melting point. They won't be able to work it. We watched as Archimedes worked his way along the trail. He soon came to a deep furrow in the ground. When he reached the end of the furrow, the ground was mounded up. Archimedes stared at the scene for a few minutes, then took off at a run. He came back within a minute with a piece of what I supposed could be called bark in a scoop shape. I recognized it as a shared tool that was often used for digging up tubers.
He'll be at that a few minutes, I think, Marvin said.
We switched to another drone and watched Arnold. He was demonstrating the use of the hand axe in battle to the males. Fortunately, not actually on anyone. The other males paid rapt attention.
They're going to want to make more axes.
I nodded. Archimedes is out of nodules. They've thoroughly searched the area where we dropped the first set. We couldn't get away with dropping off any more.
Maybe we shouldn't do anything.
Marvin had a thoughtful look. I looked at him sideways. Okay, why?
If they have any memory of where their flint source used to be, and with Moses still alive, that's possible, then it might be a good thing for them to go back there.
Oh, goody, I said, smacking my forehead. A quest! Will there be 9 of them? They can stop in Rivendell. Marvin rolled his eyes.
Okay, Captain Sarcasm, but seriously. This location isn't ideal for a lot of reasons. They ended up here because they kept retreating without a plan. Luke and I pretty much established that. The flint site is more defensible than this one, has better access to fresh water,
and has flint. I sighed and rubbed my forehead. A part of me still gets some amusement out of that virtual action, but habits like that kept me feeling like I was still human, and it felt good. Guppy, get Bender and Luke on the horn, please.
Working. There will be a 0.75-second round-trip delay.
Noted. Tell everyone to crank the frame rate down to 1/4 to mask it. I waited for a few seconds, then Bender and Luke appeared on the screen. Hey, guys, I began. I guess it's time to talk about plans. You've both passed your shakedowns, so all three of you are ready and able to pick a destination and take off. On the other hand, we have a race of sentients here, which we all know is an irresistible project. So, thoughts? Honestly, Bender replied, the Delton thing isn't so much of an attraction for me. It's really your project. I came in late, so I'd rather find something of my own. Luke nodded his head toward Bender. What he said. I looked at Marvin, who shrugged and looked around the table.
I'm a little more invested, I guess, because I came in earlier,
with a nod to Bender.
And let's face it, it's not a forever decision. I can hang around here for a few years or a few centuries.
Marvin got a faraway look in his face.
We really are immortal, aren't we?
He shook himself and continued.
Anyway, yeah. I'll hang around for a while. Maybe when we get a new batch of Bobs raised, I'll reconsider.
Marvin leaned back in his chair and put his hands behind his head. I nodded. Okay, guys, thanks. I'll adjust plans accordingly. Luke and Bender nodded, and their avatars disappeared. We cranked our frame rates back to normal and turned back to the feeds from the colony.